FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
And joining us now, we got a special guest for 2A Tuesday, my old colleague, my very good friend, former representative, future state senator, Eric Burleson, joining us now all the way from God's country, the hinterlands of southwest Missouri. Eric, welcome to St. Louis Radio. Welcome to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, do you like all that? Do you like all our little left-wing lunatic clips we have there on a 2A Tuesday? People who just do not understand firearms. I wonder if some of them have ever even seen one.
Oh, yeah, probably not. No. Most of them get it completely confused. They think everything is, a lot of rifles are semi-automatic weapons. Or they think, they think everything is something intended to go to war.
Right. Right. So, Eric, I wanted to have you on because, you were always, when I was in the House, you were always one of my select few go-to guys for, everything regarding the Second Amendment, technical issues on firearms and weapons, legal issues, the Second Amendment itself. And you carried a lot of Second Amendment legislation and got that passed into law. So, Eric, one of the first things I want to talk to you about, because you're definitely in the world of politics as well regarding the Second Amendment. Eric, there's a lot of groups out there. The NRA, of course, is the one we always hear about, and they're a great organization. And I'm a member. I believe you're a member as well. But tell us a little bit about some of the other Second Amendment groups that our listeners might not know about that they might be interested, especially during this one of the biggest political midterms of our lifetime.
Yeah, well, thank you. You're right. The NRA is the juggernaut. In Missouri, we have a really effective group called the Missouri Firearms Coalition, and then there's the National Gun Owners Association. But I would say a group that people may have not heard of that's very effective is that Missouri Firearms Coalition. They kind of got the ball rolling as an organization in Missouri in probably, 2015, maybe 2016, really is. And they were them getting the ball rolling. They quickly created a Facebook page, and I think within 6 months they had 50,000 followers on Facebook, and they were very effective in helping us get constitutional carry passed as well as standard ground. In a way, you have with lawmakers, how it is, Tim. But a lot of times lawmakers don't want to, a lot of times they don't really want to do a whole lot. And so sometimes you have to get the public pressure. You have to get the public to call their lawmakers to actually get them to make change happen. And so these groups, that's what they're really effective at doing is being that motivator to remind lawmakers that this is what the public wants. The public wants more freedom. They want more liberty. And yes, that's going to mean you're going to have to do bold things and make bold choices.
Yeah, those groups are very effective, aren't they, Eric, in putting like serious grassroots pressure on the voting members of the legislature, our representatives and our senators. And I mean all of them as representatives. We're a representative democracy, not a direct democracy. So we elect folks, but then we don't get to hold them accountable in the House, but for every 2 years, or in the Senate once every 4 years. So Eric, those groups are really important between elections, aren't they? In trying to keep folks honest as to what they said they would be on issues like the Second Amendment.
Oh, absolutely. And in some ways, you could see it happen in the legislature because the NRA has a good working relationship with a lot of lawmakers, and they knew that they they're going to be here long term, that they couldn't really they have a soft push. They do push quite a bit, but if they have long term plans, well, you get an organization like the Missouri Firearms Coalition that comes in, and they really just they're not interested in making friends. They absolutely just went all out, held everyone accountable, and didn't care that they make enemies with lawmakers. They're there to hold people's feet to the fire. And so I think that having both of those organizations it's kind of a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, it's very important that we have both. And you know, the NRA, like you said, they have a certain role they play, and it's very key and vital. But sometimes you need that hammer, right? Something like with the Missouri Club for Growth on the economic issues. Sometimes you need that hammer to really hold people accountable. Because, Eric, you've seen it too, right? You know, people will say things on a survey, or they'll put things on their campaign literature. But, you know, Donald Trump, for instance, has been one of those refreshing politicians who actually does what he's going to say. People are surprised to learn, Eric, that a lot of politicians, maybe it's not a lot, but there's enough sometimes that it makes a difference on a key vote. They say they're going to do one thing, but then they get in the legislature and they get soft on an issue. And yeah. Second Amendment's one of those issues people get soft on, right? Because there's a lot of pressure to do the contrary.
Right. And the pressure comes from big groups. For example, everyone wants to campaign that they're pro Second Amendment and that they want to provide more freedom in the Second Amendment. For example, when the rubber hits the road and you have issues like, for example, constitutional carry, well, constitutional carry, the Sheriff's Association was very much against that because I would say many sheriffs within the association, some of them knew that had the right attitude about it, but many of them saw it as an opportunity because they were raising money off of it. A lot of sheriffs were making, they had, you know, their special accounts where they would charge everyone $100 per person simply to, you know, have their Second Amendment rights. And that was a cash cow for the sheriff's office. And so they did not want to see that go away. So they put a lot of pressure on lawmakers. Well, if you're a lawmaker and your local sheriff is against this issue, suddenly you've got to deal with this conflict. And because of that, a lot of lawmakers just simply don't want to do anything. And so you same thing with, for example, we've got the bill that's happening right now that's being pushed is to eliminate some of these gun-free zones, because all the data, anyone that looks at the data realizes that you're just disarming people when you put them in a gun-free zone. You're disarming the law-abiding citizen. And that's where a lot of our mass shootings are happening. But so if you're a lawmaker and you look at that bill, nobody wants to tick off their universities or superintendents or any of these groups. So what do? They just simply say, well, they want to say that they support the Second Amendment, but when the rubber meets the road, they would rather not do anything.
Yeah, Eric, talk about that a little bit more, about that stat you just threw out, because I've seen that as well. And it's something that the left always wants to avoid discussing. All of these mass shootings that have come about over the last several years, you know, starting, I guess, with Columbine up to the present day, I think the stat is like, it's close to 100%. If it's not 100%, it's really close to 100% of all of those shootings have occurred in posted, quote, gun-free zones.
Right. And they're happening in states or cities where the gun control restrictions are the highest. So there's no doubt that if you're a mass shooter, mass shooters are looking for places where they don't have to take on a good guy with a gun. They're looking for places that they can have the longest period of time where they can not be confronted. And most of the time, these mass shooters are cowards. The moment that they're confronted, they usually take action against themselves because they are terrified of any kind of conflict. So, you look back at the anecdotal mass shootings, a lot of the ones that are covered in the press happened in the most restrictive states, like Connecticut and Colorado. Those are some of the most gun-restrictive states in the nation, and yet it didn't stop someone from you know, some of these high-profile mass shootings from occurring. But the truth, here's what one fact about that is that mass shootings represent a very small fraction of gun control violence, which gun control violence as a whole, because of concealed carry laws where people are more law-abiding citizens are able to carry, all of that is declining over the last, you know, 15 years since concealed carry has become popularized around states. We saw we've seen a huge decline to over the last 15 years. We were seeing increase from the 1970s of violent crime and shootings
right.
per citizen. So you're so the data showed that from the 60s into the 70s and 80s, violent crime was increasing at a rapid rate. It went from about 6 people per 100,000 people, and it ramped up to about 10 people per 100,000 people. And that was during America's most restrictive gun time in America's history, where we restricted the guns the most.
Yes.
But since we've let law-abiding citizens conceal carry, we have seen a dramatic decrease back down to, you know, the 6 people to 5 people per 100,000. So while we've allowed Americans to have more freedom, we've seen less violent crime.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You know, and it's definitely plummeted in many areas that have gone to greater freedoms for the Second Amendment. And we've seen that if it doesn't fit the media narrative, they drop the story. Eric, we're up against a hard break, so I got to let you go, my friend. But it was great speaking with you, Eric. How can folks learn more about you? You're running for state senate this year, and you put out some great information. How can they follow you? You got Facebook, Twitter. What do you direct people to?
Yeah, all of it. I've got a Facebook page, Eric Berlis. Just look me up on Facebook or on Twitter. And yeah, it's great to be on your show, Tim. I've always see you as a friend, but as a mentor as well. So thanks for.
Well, it'll be great to have you back in our state senate, fighting for our freedoms every day. Eric, we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.